Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Hey!
Happy Saturday!
Happy Saturday, BE community. We back. And it's time to catch up because it's been almost half a season, if not more.
A long time.
Before it's been just the two of us. So, you know, we usually have to throw that in there, y'all. We could just catch up with ourselves and catch up, of course, with our amazing BE community. So, Toya, how is it going? How are you doing?
Woo! Life is lifing. Oh. I'm getting ready to present at the NSTA next week.
Yeah.
The science conference. Wait. It's a really big conference in Denver.
What does NSTA stand for?
National Science Teacher Association.
Amazing. And so, what are you presenting on?
On engaging students in a virtual platform.
Well, that's huge.
So
that's
huge. I'm excited about that. One of my coworkers kind of freaked me out because this is my first time going to NSTA and I'm presenting. Mm-hmm. So she was like, "You've never been there?" And I was like, "No." She's like, "It's huge. It's amazing. There's so many people. There's going to be so many people. Oh my goodness. That's crazy that you're presenting and you've never even been there." So,
hey.
I was like, "It might be a good thing, but now you're kind of freaking me out." I said, well, I have an 8 o'clock session, so maybe it won't be that many people.
8 a.m., 8 p.m., 8 a.m.?
8 a.m.
Okay. So. Well, you never know, but that's an intriguing topic. So, I mean, I know if I was a teacher, I'd want to be there. So, you presented, though, before, right?
No, this will be my first time.
No, not at that conference, but you presented in general before, though, right? At other conferences or in front of other teachers?
I present in front of teachers for professional development, but... No, not like at a conference.
Okay. That's huge. Are you excited or just
nervous? I'm
excited,
a little nervous now. Okay. but it should be fun.
It will be fun. We'll be praying, y'all. That's huge. Congratulations, Toya.
Thank you.
That was a
long journey to get it approved as far as like the safety stuff, because we are going to be utilizing like candy and we're like, make sure you tell them not to eat the candy. You can't eat and consume because of like cross contamination.
Oh, got it.
Those safety reasons. I was like, I promise I will tell them not to eat the candy.
Liability. They like
that. Yes.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Okay. Yes.
So that's huge. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Yes. Very good stuff.
I'm excited.
Huh. Well, I'm coming off of vacay. Dawsonville celebrated 10 years. So we were living it up. And God really blessed us. I have some anxiety just because, with the 10 year, it's a big deal when you hit the double digits, or as you like to call it, the diamond club.
Yes.
But we wanted to do it big. We were planning to go to Hawaii. And then I think I mentioned in a previous episode that we're on the journey to becoming debt free. And so we really sat down and we were like, okay, what would be the best use of our funds in this season? And so we opted not to go to Hawaii yet. We'll be going soon, but not at this time. And so we did a smaller state closer to home, and we actually went to South Carolina. And so it was beautiful, though. Like, God really hooked us up. Like, we were still right off the ocean view. And so, I mean, to just hear the ocean day in and day out, like every morning and every night, and to just see the sun, come up. And like, that was my big thing, where I was like, oh God, my quiet time. I was living on the balcony having quiet time with the Lord, just because anytime I'm near the water, it just shifts my perspective and it helps me to see things from a broader perspective, and to really see how small and menial our circumstances are compared to just the glory and the majesty of God. And so it really just helped me amp up my worship. And so I've just been in that frame of mind, just really just loving on God, reflecting on just all that God has brought us through. I did a blog recently on building a monument, and like how in the Old Testament, God used to always tell, after he performed a miracle, he would always tell like Moses or Joshua or Caleb or whoever, like, build a monument and name it after what I did in this moment, you know? And I think that's so important for us, because God was reminding us to remind ourselves of his faithfulness and what he's done in the past, so that when we come upon things in the future or even present day, we can have something to look back to and say, yeah, but God showed himself up. He showed up in that moment, or he did this in that moment, or he provided in this moment, or he healed in this moment. Like, so really building a monument and looking back at all God has done and all that he wants to do moving forward. So I've just been really in a season of reflection and gratitude and loving on God, loving on my husband, super grateful for him, and just all that he is, all that he's done and continues to do as the amazing man of God that he is. And so, yeah, just really, really reflecting. But God showed up. We had an amazing, amazing time. And I feel like I was not cheated in any way. So I'm like, thank you, Lord, because that was a big deal for me. I was going around and around in my head like, but I want this and I want that. And God is like, can you just trust me? And he's just constantly reminding me, like, when you just trust God, like, his ways are so much higher than ours. They're so much better than ours. And so I am constantly reminding myself to just trust him, and not just, you know, in that area, but just in life in general. You know, when I have to force something to happen or try to strive and do something, then in those moments, I just need to take my hand off and be like, okay, God, like, what do you want to do? Like, because if I'm spinning my wheels and working in vain, then it might not be the move. So we'll see. But all that to say, yeah, that's where I'm coming from, celebrating an amazing milestone and excited about what God has to come.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
10 years.
Yes, girl. Yes. So we're excited. We're excited about all that is to come. So that is what had happened. Was, oh, and we got to give a special shout out to a friend of the BE community who recently got married. She was on our show. So, yeah.
Yes.
What's her name? Who just got married?
Yes.
I'm like, bring it on.
Shouting out my cousin. You all knew her as Danita McCann.
Yes.
She was on the show. Now she is Mrs. Danita McCann's hyphen. Prepty.
Okay.
Prepty.
I love it.
So we were recently in Florida, Orlando, Florida last weekend, celebrating their union together.
Yes.
It was a beautiful wedding. Aww. It was superb. Like, they did it up. Like,
yes.
As far as, like, the decorations, the food, like, we ate so much. They had food at the beginning, you know, while you're waiting, and then after the ceremony, they had even more food. They had like a taco bar, like all kinds of hors d'oeuvres, and like empanadas and spring rolls and open bar. And then once we got into the reception, then it was like a full, like, you know, three-course meal. Then they had like a dessert bar. Much food.
I love it.
Ooh, it was great.
They did it up for real.
Now,
I was trying to think back. I know Danita. I know she was on one of our Girl Talk season finale episodes, and I'm trying to remember if it was for season. Maybe it was for season 5, I think. But all that to say, definitely friend of the BE community. She has an amazing veterinarian business.
Yes.
I think at the time we posted something because she was we were talking about the cuff it challenge, and she and her co-worker
yes.
were doing the
cuff it
challenge. So Danita is so fun. Like, she's amazing. So excited for her and her new husband. What's her husband's name?
Yes. Her husband's name is Oh my goodness, fading away from my mind that quick.
I know I'm putting you on the spot, but we'll give you a shout out, Danita, you and your amazing new husband. We'll put it in the chat. But yes, congratulations. Danita.
Yay!
I love it. So that's what happened was, y'all, okay? But you know, in true fashion.
Oh, sorry. It's Joe.
There you go. Danita and Joseph.
Sorry.
Yes. Congratulations. So in true fashion, you know, we got to talk what's trending. ding. Okay, so a couple of things that we got to weigh in on, Toya. A couple things. First thing is the Oscars. The 2024 Oscars just happened, and there was a lot of buzz, namely because there were a lot of great nominations connected to the film American Fiction. And I know you, me, and Alfie were actually talking about this film a few weeks ago because we had all had the opportunity to see it around the same time. And so, first of all, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you see it. But I thoroughly enjoyed the movie.
I enjoyed it as well. Yes. Really good. My sister had like some type of screening, private screening through her company. Mm-hmm. And so we went. It was really nice because everybody was like, what is this movie about? Like, nobody had watched the trailers or anything. So we were all kind of like, I don't know. It's free.
Yes.
Showing up. So it was a really good movie.
That's awesome that her company supported it. I mean, the big deal about American Fiction is it was, the screenplay, I should say, was written and directed by an African-American man. Actually, he shared that his mother is white. I believe and his father is Black. It might be reversed, but I think his mother is white, his father is Black. But all that to say, this was the first movie that he had directed. I think he directed it at age 40. He's 42 now. And so it was a big deal because literally he was talking about how so many people turned it down as far as like producing it and distributing it. And he finally got a yes. And amazing. He did just an amazing job, especially with it being his first film. And so, but premise, no spoiler alert here. It's about a Black author who is, you know, he's well known. He's got a few books under his belt, but he basically is having difficulty getting traction because he doesn't necessarily write about the stereotypical traditional Black experience. You know, he's like, I want to write about what I want to write, and I'm just an author who happens to be Black. And so he ends up getting a lot of acclaim because to basically, as a joke, you know, to the industry, he writes this spoof almost that's like super stereotypical, super, you know, every Black stereotype you can think of. And it gets all this acclaim. And he's like, that is not what I meant. Like, I really was trying to do it to just kind of prove a point, but it ends up getting all this acclaim. And so really, really great movie. Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us is in it. Erica Alexander, if you are a Living Single fan, I was just so excited to see her on the big screen. Like, I know she's been doing stuff. Actually, she's been doing more activist work behind the scenes over the past few years or so, but it was great to see her on the big screen. What's my girl's name?
From
Diana Ross's daughter, Tracy Ellis Ross. A lot of great, great people in it. And so I was just really, really excited about it. And it was done very, very well. So there was a lot of buzz about the Oscars with that because they got a lot of nominations for Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Screenplay, Best Film as well. And so I was really here for that, quite honestly. But yeah, so let's talk about what any best dress you want to give to.
The only one that really stood out to me was Angela Bassett's dress, that purple dress.
I didn't see her dress.
Oh my gosh, it was so pretty.
Really? Okay, I'm gonna have to Google that one, y'all. I missed it. Okay.
That's the only one that really stood out to me.
And she didn't present, right? She just was there, right? Yeah. Looking fabulous, of course, mind you.
Of course.
Always. I always have to remind myself, like, Angela Bassett is in her 60s.
Great.
She in her 60s.
Yeah.
Can I look like that? Like, in my 40s, can I look like that? Amazing. So, I would say for me, best dress, what stood out to me was Cynthia Erivo. She and Ariana Grande are actually, they're getting ready to do Wicked, the movie, based on the Broadway play. And I haven't seen the Broadway play. I know it's been on Broadway forever, y'all. I'm sorry if I haven't seen it yet. But all that to say, they're getting ready to do the movie, the film adaptation for it. And so Cynthia Erivo had on the green for like the Wicked Witch. And Ariana, who's like Glinda the Good Witch, had on this soft pink and her hair was blonde. But they look fabulous. I especially want to say Cynthia Erivo in that green leather joint. Fly. Just fly. Like fly. I haven't come across a like leather formal before, but she excellent. So anyone else you want to give a shout out to for best dressed?
That was pretty much it. Mm-hmm. It was Angela Bassett. I did see their outfit, and I thought that was really nice too.
Yeah, yeah. And then Domingo Coleman, he actually was in Color Purple. He stepped it up for the men. I thought his suit was really cool, and he got a lot of kudos for that as well. But Domingo Coleman, he was nominated for Rustin, yes, a movie on Netflix. I haven't seen that, but I've heard it's really good. He's actually going to be playing Joe Jackson too in the Jacksons film biopic that they're working on. So yeah, but all that to say, everybody was looking fly. And then awards, we talked about some nominations as far as American Fiction getting a lot of attention, other films that got a lot of attention, Barbie, Oppenheimer.
I haven't seen either of those.
I did see Barbie.
Now, I didn't see that one yet.
I'm just gonna say, y'all, I grew up like, I still have my Barbies. I still have my Barbie dream house. I still have like all of it. Somebody is going to be gifted it. I don't even know if they're going to want it, but somebody's going to be gifted it. But all that to say, like, I was huge on between Barbie and Cabbage Patch Kid. Girl, that was my world.
My kids are into Barbie now.
See?
Barbie galore in the room. Barbie dollhouse. Barbie
you can't,
boat.
I mean, Barbie is amazing.
Barbie cars. They just got Ken.
They're amazing.
My husband didn't want them pretending, like, you know, for married wife and husband.
Oh.
When they were pretending, it was usually just the girl Barbie. So he's like, I'm going to get them Ken.
Yeah, I used to do Barbie weddings. I literally, before, like, I knew of such thing as wedding planning. I literally planned a wedding. I bought the little hostess cakes. I was planning the wedding for Barbie and Ken. I was planning the birthday party for Cabbage Patch Kids. So I'm there. Did you grow up playing with Barbie or just your kids?
Just my kids.
Really?
I like dolls, but not really Barbies.
Okay. Okay. So were you hesitant about them getting into Barbie or were you like?
No. I was happy for the change because it was PJ Masks forever.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I was so sick of PJ Masks. I was like, oh, can you please ask for something else for Christmas?
Give me something else, please.
Lots of PJ Masks.
I love it. But it was straight reminiscent for me. And so my aunt was in town last summer and, you know, she was here for something else. My uncle was actually having a short film premiere. So we were supporting him and she was like, I'm going to come and spend some time with you and Chris. What do you want to do? And I was like, can we go see Barbie? I don't know what it is, but I turned into a little girl around my aunt. Like my aunt Tammy, shout out to you, Aunt Tammy, if you're watching this or hearing this. But like she is the reason that I love being an aunt to this day. And so we would always do like girls trips, like girls outings growing up. And our phrase was no boys, no men, just us women. Cause she has four boys and they're like my brother cousins. And so like I was like her girl fix, if you will, and she was just like my auntie fix all day long. So when she was in town, I was like, let's go see Barbie. So I put on my pink girl and I went to see Barbie. And it was really cute. And they definitely touched on a lot of mature topics when it comes to like masculinity and feminism and patriarchy. And so a lot of mixed reviews about that, but I really liked the way they did it, you know, the way they depicted Barbie Land, the way they depicted the real world. So that got a lot of attention. Oppenheimer, Poor Things, hadn't seen Poor Things before, but that got up a lot of attention. I'm trying to see if there's anything else I missed, but oh, and the holdovers. And so hadn't seen them. Honestly, I didn't realize the Holdovers had come out already. I remember seeing a preview and it just kind of slid under the radar for me. But all that to say, the wins for the night for me, and I have to mention the Holdovers because Davon Joy Randolph, she won Best Supporting Actress for the Holdovers, which from my understanding is a film about some like private school kids who basically they end up staying at the private school during the holidays. Mm. And so the staff that's there with them during the holidays really ends up kind of taking care of them and supporting them. And all these other emotional things kind of surface that, you know, you don't normally experience in the traditional classroom setting. And so I think Devon's character was like the lunch lady or something. I'm sorry, y'all, if I'm hacking this because I haven't seen this, my disclaimer. But I say all that to say she won for Best Supporting Actress. And her speech was everything, y'all. It was great.
She well, I gotta check that movie yeah. out too.
I don't know if I'm gonna see it, maybe, but if you see it before me, let me know.
Okay.
Her speech was everything. I mean, she just talked about not feeling seen and not, you know, in the Hollywood community and when she was pursuing acting and how she just had people like her acting coach and her publicist who came alongside her and they were like, that's all right, we're gonna forge a trail for you, you know, whether you see yourself or not, you can do this. So she did amazing. And she was just talking about how for so long she felt like she had to be like someone else and she's just now realizing that she can be herself. So shout out to Devon Joy Randolph. I haven't seen her in The Holdovers, but she's great. I've seen her in a couple other movies because she was in a movie with Eddie Murphy where she killed it. I was like, who's this girl? And she's in one of my favorite TV shows, Only Murders in the Building. Only Murders in the Building on Hulu, y'all. That's my jam. And
tell me about that one.
It's cute. It's like a murder mystery.
Okay.
And it's like they're famous, but not like I love the cross-generational too, because you've got Steve Martin, Martin Short, and then you got Selena Gomez. And
okay.
So Selena Gomez is like, you know, this young Gen Zer and she's hanging out with these old heads, but they're like really good friends. But basically people keep mysteriously dying in their building.
Oh,
and
wow.
They come together and figure out who solves it, but they do it through the form of a podcast. So it's really cool, really cool. So I think they're in season 3 and she's a detective on there who's like, always like, y'all stay out of my case, let me solve the murder, but they end up solving it before her. So
okay,
yeah. So Joy Randolph, shout out to you. And we did mention American Fiction earlier. They didn't win for best actor or supporting actor, but they did win for best adapted screenplay, so that was a huge win as well. So yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Any other major wins or anything you want to talk about regarding the Oscars?
No.
Any performances or anything?
I didn't actually watch it in real time.
I'm not sure about the performances. Okay. I think I caught most of it in real time, but I kind of went back. But I do just want to shout out two performances. One was from Barbie. Because Ryan Gosling, who's a Disney kid, if you watched the Mickey Mouse Club growing up, he was in that circle with like Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Ariana Grande. He kind of came up with that crew. So he's talented. And he did a great job in La La Land. I don't know if you saw La La Land, but I really enjoyed La La Land. And so he did a performance and he killed it. So everybody was talking about that. He did a performance from Barbie. And then Billie Eilish, this was my favorite performance of the night. Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas performed from the movie Barbie as well. Yeah. They actually won, but their song is called What I Was Made For. But that was, to me, one of my top performance. I like Billie Eilish. She's really cool. And she's young, so she was like up there thanking her choir teacher. And it was funny, her acceptance speech. So yeah,
that's
but
sweet.
Clearly y'all can tell I went in on the Oscars because I'm like, I was here for it this year. But anything you want to add before we go on into topic 2 for what's trending?
You can move on.
All right, so topic 2, y'all. This has been trending for a while, and we just haven't had a chance to get to it yet, but people are still talking about it, so we're going to talk about it. So, Risa Tisa. All right. Risa Tisa, y'all.
So,
first off, I will say how I heard about Risa Tisa was a few weeks ago, one of my coworkers was like, Maya, I've been up since I was up to almost 3 o'clock this morning watching this lady on TikTok. And I was like, what are you watching on TikTok? And she said, Risa Tisa. I said, who is Risa Tisa? So she's like, yeah, she basically tells this story about, you know, her series is called Who the F Did I Marry? And basically talking about this guy that she met right before the pandemic. They end up quarantining together. They got married during the pandemic. She got pregnant during the pandemic and they got divorced during the pandemic. So, and she lost her baby, unfortunately, but over the course of that whole relationship or situationship, marriage, whatever you want to call it, it was a lot. She finds out that her husband or now ex-husband was like a pathological liar. And I mean, he was lying about everything, social security, you know, he told his family after the fact that the baby was still, in fact, alive. It was just a lot. And so everybody, there were all these memes and jokes on social media where all these wives were looking at their husband with the side eye like, are you really who you say you are? Like, so have you heard anything about Risa Tisa?
Not until I watched the video.
Okay.
But
okay.
I was like, how many hours of it's TikTok videos?
Literally, it's like over 50 10-minute TikTok videos. So 500 minutes, if you're adding it all up, which is easily 8 hours out of somebody's life.
She creative.
Yeah.
Like a whole TV series.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. They're trying to make it into a movie now. Even though she used like code names like her ex-husband and his friends and family and everything. Of course people figured out who he was.
Of course.
You know, people started cyber stalking him, all that, you know, and he had to release a statement where he was like, you know, none of it's true and he was trying to sue her for defamation of character. I was like, well, if she ain't use your real name, I don't really know if you can, if you have a case. But all that to say, it really got people to talking. Okay, now I'm gonna tell you now, I did not go down that 8-hour rabbit hole just because I was like, I can't. I'm not giving over 8 hours of my life to this. But I did watch several interviews because afterward, and honestly, I was trying to get in touch with her for Becoming Eva. So Risa Tisa, if you watching and you want to come on, like, I know she's in the Atlanta area.
Okay.
Like,
so
if you want to come on, we're here for it. But since then, she's done interviews with Good Morning America. She's done interviews on the Tamron Hall Show. And I started watching some of her smaller clips on YouTube because I'm not a huge TikToker, but a lot of her content has gone over to YouTube now. And so, like I said, I didn't go down the 8-hour rabbit hole, but I have watched her interviews and seen a couple of updates since the 50-part series. So I really wanted us to talk about Red Flags, Toya.
Ooh.
Because my thing is this, and she admits it openly, you know, she calls it the United Nations of red flags that she just chose to override. And she's very honest, which I appreciate, because she was like, you know, because I think Robin Roberts asked her, well, why did you override these red flags? And she was like, I wanted to get married. I was tired of being single. I didn't want to look crazy in front of my friends after I had come out and said I'm in this amazing relationship. I didn't want to backpedal and be like, oh, never mind. So she didn't want to look crazy in front of people. And she really thought it was her time. It was just her time to get married, have children, do all the things. So let's talk a little bit about red flags.
Yes. I feel like for some women, depending on like where you are in mm-hmm. life, similar to what Risa Tisa was saying. Like,
yeah.
If you're ready to get married, ready to have kids, and you feel like you're running out of time,
yes,
you know, some women may feel like it's okay to relax from those boundaries that they yeah. may have, and
yeah.
and kind of even if you see the red flags, just kind of overlook them, or you know, just like, well, maybe that's not really what he meant,
mm-hmm.
or you know, just. So yeah. that you can have this the idea of this relationship that yes. you want. But at the end of the day, it's unhealthy if it's not meant to be.
Yeah.
Like, it's better to just be by yourself versus like compromising mm-hmm. and you know.
Yeah.
And we see the red flags. And sometimes I know in the past I've seen red flags and I've overlooked them myself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because you're in love, or you think, oh, it's going to get better. Or, you know, women's favorite, and we don't like to admit it, I can fix it. I can fix him. No, ma'am.
You start envisioning your, like, your last name, your kids,
yep.
your future. You just start. I think most women do that.
Exactly.
When we start dating, we get excited.
Yeah.
We're like, ooh, if this is the one, I'll be missing Zeta.
Yes. But let's talk about, why is it important to not override the red flags?
Because at the end of the day, if it's not from God, if it's not meant to be, it's not going to work out. It's going to be a lifetime of heartache,
yeah.
of disappointment. Yeah. It's if it's not God ordained,
yeah.
then you're wasting your time.
Yeah. And literally the phrase red flags is just that. It's a little flag. But here's the deal, y'all. We see the little flag and we think, oh, that's it. It's just a little flag. But no, ma'am, that little flag is waving at you saying, hey, I'm just a symptom of something that's even bigger.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? It's like, oh, like we're thinking, okay, you're coughing when like, no, you got a cold and there's a virus happening in your body. So like that little red flag is saying, pay attention to me because I'm attached to something that's way bigger. And you need to ask questions about those red flags to see just how big the symptom is that it's attached to, you know, and I think there's nothing wrong with asking questions. Yeah. Those are the times that you should ask the questions and ask the hard questions, y'all. Ask the questions that's in the back of your mind that you know, I need to ask that, but I don't want to hurt his feelings, or I don't want to seem like I'm coming on too strong, or like ask. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to you when. I'm not saying ask all the crazy questions on the first date, but I'm saying if you are really getting emotionally attached and you really see this relationship going down the path of marriage, ask the hard questions. For real, for real. And we just actually completed our love story series. And I remember one thing that I think it was Ernest Rick Sincere said during our interview. He was like, meet the family, like do all the things, be around the family. Because what's coming out in this whole Risa Tisa situation is that her ex-husband is mentally ill, basically. He was diagnosed with some stuff that their parents were trying to help him with. And it's like his siblings are now coming forward. Other women that he's been involved with are now coming forward. And so I'm like, meet the family.
Yeah.
Get to know the family. Because number one, they'll either A, tell you the truth and give you the lowdown. You know, they'll give you the backstory. Or B, you'll see just how cray cray everybody is. For real. I'm just saying. Some people, were you like, okay, I'm going to slowly back away. Just slowly back away. I was never here. Nice to meet you. But like, seriously, meet the family, because a person's family reveals a lot about the person. And here's the deal. If you marry this person, you're going to be connected to the family. So you really need to meet the family, because you're not only marrying that person, but you're marrying their family too. So
yeah, that's true.
Red flags are important.
Very important. I remember one relationship that I was in. This person had like anger problems, and I didn't really realize it. He would kind of yell at me, and then a couple times I had like put me against the wall and like punched a hole in the wall, like next to me.
Oof.
Not my face or anything, but punched like a physical hole in the wall. And so ding 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 ding, 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 the red flag should have been going off.
Yeah.
But of course, I think for me, I felt like I was kind of like, it was too late. I was trapped a little bit. But eventually I was able to like get away from him, but it was many little things that kept building upon itself. And so even when I watch things like Fatal Attraction, the TV series, I'm like, ooh, that could have been me. That could have been me, because some of those stories, and even another relationship, I saw red flags, but they weren't that drastic until all of a sudden, you know, now I'm backed up against the closet and you're choking me.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. You're like, anytime you see those type of red flags, run. Get out of those types of relationships. Yeah. Because it's not good.
I'm glad you said that, because that's a red flag that you don't need to be asking no questions about. You just need to move in the opposite direction. Like, for real. Violence is not the move. Not the move at all. At all. So, whew, thank you for sharing that, Toya.
Yeah.
Let's talk about lessons learned. And I do want to highlight the fact I'm grateful that I was, you know, able to at least watch some of the interviews, because it sounds like this whole process of telling her story for Risa Tisa was more cathartic than anything, where she was like, I'm not necessarily, this isn't necessarily about putting her ex-husband on blast as much as it is about telling her story and then also healing. And so she talked a lot about realizing that she doesn't have to settle, that she's more than enough, and that her happiness is not attached to a person. And so let's talk a little bit about lessons learned.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all of those statements. Mm-hmm. Your happiness definitely should not be attached to a person, mm-hmm. even, you know, once you get married, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Like, that should not determine who you are, your value, mm-hmm. you know, what you're going to be, your happiness level. That should not determine that. You are responsible for your own happiness.
Amen.
And not someone else. So for me, I know I learned lessons. Like, mm-hmm. when you see those signs, if he's punching holes in the walls, you need to get out. Like, for me, it took me a while in that particular relationship to get out. And I don't even know why I was sticking around. You know, I think it was a bunch of different things, mm-hmm. Like strongholds and, you know, some manipulation going on with some of the things he would say, mm-hmm. to keep me from, like, leaving. But you got to get out. And so that second relationship that I had where it eventually became physical, and it didn't become physical until 4 years into our relationship.
Wow.
Like, I didn't have... Yeah. those red flags that mm-hmm. he was going to ever put his hands on me,
mm-hmm.
Which threw me off. I had other red flags, but it was not in the violence category. I really think when you get in a relationship with someone, before you make that commitment, mm-hmm. make sure you're praying to God and asking first if you should be even committed to that person. So that's just wisdom right there, just to make sure before you say yes, like, I'll commit to you, that you have confirmation from your Holy Spirit and discernment. So I think year three, when I really started praying about if this person was my husband, is when I started noticing red flags. So it's a 3 years for me to start even noticing red flags. And then fourth year is when it became violent. And as soon as it became violent, that was it. We were done like that particular day or night.
Wow.
That was it. And I was like, listen, I told myself I could never be with anyone that puts their hands on me. And so immediately we kind of, we broke up that moment. Because, I mean, I fought back.
Yeah.
You know, when he was choking me, I definitely fought back. And I was like, oh, no, this is not it.
Yeah.
This is not it. Because someone can present themselves a certain way for a certain amount of time, but God knows that person.
Yeah.
Person's heart, their mind, like their tendencies, their future. Like, you really have to be in right relationship with God and really communicating with God, mm-hmm. because he's omniscient and he knows the future.
Yeah.
So it's very important to really have discernment before you link up with people. So that was one of the big lessons that I learned. I know I shared my story of meeting my husband, and it was very quick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we met, he proposed, we got married all within the time span of 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you this, my relationship with God, we were like that at
Amen.
That point. And so I started praying immediately after I met him. Before I said yes.
Amen.
So I put that little disclaimer.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was being all willy-nilly like, oh, yeah. No. Mm-hmm. I prayed and got confirmation from God and from others before I committed to Ryan.
Yeah.
So just have some wisdom.
Yeah, that's the key. You want to make sure that like God is co-signing on your relationship, because emotions are emotions. They're going to rise to the surface and they're going to easily try to take over. And you have to make sure that, number one, your relationship with God is intact and that you are clearly hearing from the Lord. And then you also want to make sure that you have godly counsel around you.
Yes.
You know, if you want to make sure that, number one, you are bringing that person around, your friends, and that your person or whoever you're dating, they're bringing you around their friends and family, because that counsel, that godly counsel, that community is real. You know, if you find yourself having to be isolated while you're in a relationship with this person, that's not the move. And I get it. You know, you may have seasons where you want to or need to keep the relationship under wraps. I know I talked about how when I was dating my husband, we really didn't tell anybody for the first 3 to 6 months. Or when Portia Love, we were interviewing her and she was saying God was telling her to keep quiet about the relationship for a period of time. You may have windows like that, but get this, it's not the entire time. And so that's all the more reason why you have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to know, okay, when am I supposed to engage with those that are around this person, with their community? You know, when do I need to be quiet about this? When do I need to, like, you know, kind of insulate this relationship? So just knowing that God has signed off on the relationship, I know is key. And then also going back to the whole, I can fix this person, I can make them better. First of all, we can't fix anybody. Only the Lord can do that.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest pieces of advice or wisdom that I got when we were going through premarital counseling is you need to be prepared that if nothing changes about your husband, you know, if it's a bad habit or a tendency or something that you just kind of rubs you the wrong way, are you okay with that? If that never changes, are you okay? Because here's the deal. It may not. It may, but it may not. And you have to be okay with the fact of, okay, I'm entering into this lifelong commitment with this person. So it's not a, oh, I can fix this or I can change that. No. If this person is the exact same that they are right now, are you okay with that? Are you okay with being in that relationship with that person for the rest of your life? You know? And so be mindful of that. And then I also want to talk about the internal clock ticking. You mentioned it, especially women. You know, we talk about the biological clock, you know, we talk about childbearing years, all of that. And it's real. It's real. I mean, like you're told if you get pregnant after a certain point that you're a geriatric pregnancy. Nobody wants to hear that.
That was me.
So we know those are real things, you know, and that's if you're married. If you're like, okay, I'm in my 40s, 50s, 60s, I still haven't gotten married. Oh, and don't be trying to save yourself a marriage. What in the world? Who does that in this world? So kudos to you if you're in that scenario, because I get it. I know that it's hard. I know that it's challenging. I know hormones are going all over the place. I know your sex drive may be going through the roof, and nobody around you is really probably trying to live that life. I mean, prayerfully, you're surrounding yourself with like-minded people and you're, you know, a part of a Bible believing church. But at the same time, the culture is looking at you like you better get it in and live your best life while you can. You only live once. So I get it. But at the same time, you know, and I've been meditating on this myself, God's ways are so much higher than ours. He stands outside of time. So we're looking at this timeline saying, oh, I'm this age and this hasn't happened yet. Or, oh, you know, I'm this far along and I haven't seen this fruit yet, or my body is saying this, or my doctor is saying that, or whatever, biology is saying this. And God literally stands outside of time, number one, because he created it, and he created us, he created you, but he can change and do whatever he wants outside of the confines of time. You know what I mean? Like a day is as a thousand years is as a day. Like literally, you know, he could snap his fingers and your situation could change. So you just never know how God can and will move in your own personal situation, you know, regarding a spouse, regarding children, regarding whatever you feel like you're behind in. But the thing is this, we cannot take matters into our own hands. When we take matters into our own hands, it's chaos.
Yes.
Like it's absolute chaos. God wants us to trust him in the midst of that process. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard, especially when it seems like everybody around you is living their best life. But I'm gonna tell you this, it's work being married to the person that God has told you to marry. It's hell being married to someone that you're not supposed to be married to. So I'm telling you now, like, don't take that risk. Don't take that risk. Like, you want to make sure that whatever union God is telling you to enter, that it is God ordained. Because again, that's work in and of itself. When is God ordained this work? So don't let it be of the devil. Don't let it be like just straight from the pit of hell. Like, I'm telling you, be alone and holy before you choose that route, please. Yes. Because it is not worth it. I've seen just time and time again, you know, homes that have been fractured, hearts that have been broken, you know, families that have just been torn apart because we tried to do stuff in and of our own strength. We tried to make it happen, or we overrode the red flags. And so
compromise.
Yeah.
So you say you're gonna wait for marriage, for sex, and then you're like, well,
I ain't getting no younger. These hormones,
I don't want to be the only virgin at this age. Like, you know.
It's real. It's real. And I get it. It's hard. But anything that's worth it is worth the work, you know. And yes, I firmly believe that when we trust God in whatever aspect of our lives we need to trust him in, he gives us the grace, number one, in that moment, but he like heaps blessing upon blessing upon blessing, like more than we could ever ask or think or imagine, because we chose his way over ours. So I'm just saying, I know it's a lot, but God sees and he knows.
And wait on God.
Yeah. So those are some lessons learned regarding Risa Tisa. Anything else you want to share regarding Risa Tisa before we dive into top picks?
Top picks.
All right. So top picks. What have we been reading, watching, listening to? Anything we want to plug or shout out?
I've been watching Black Cake on Hulu.
I have heard about it, but I haven't watched it.
It's good. Okay. It's really good. So I might go save you spoilers. But I finished the whole season by myself. Ooh. I was watching it with Ryan, and then he was like, yeah, after the first episode.
Yeah.
I was like, great. This is really good.
And, yeah.
You know, I think it's more of like a, I don't know, I wouldn't say chick flick, but
okay,
more women will probably like to watch Black Cake.
Okay.
But it's very intriguing, very interesting. I think you'll like that.
Okay.
Reading... just besides myself for school, my mom sent me a book. It's called Prayers for Spiritual Warfare.
Amen.
What I've been reading besides like my normal.
Amen. Bible stuff. That's what's up. Prayers for Spiritual Warfare.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I have not started anything new for reading. Pray I finished the books I was reading during the last top picks, y'all. You know my struggle there. I have been watching I started watching The Bear, and I was late, y'all. I was late, but I started watching The Bear. Yes.
What is that?
I love it. It's on Hulu.
Okay.
And it's a Hulu original. And I'm a foodie. So when I watch cooking shows all the time. Like I'm watching Chopped, or I'm watching Beat Bobby Flay, or my husband calls it Watch Bobby Win, because he always wins. I'm watching, you know, stuff on the Food Network. And so all that to say, this show does a great job of taking the world, the cooking world, and like putting it, incorporating it into everyday life in the culture.
Okay.
So, but long story short, I'm just giving you the synopsis, no spoilers here. A little brother, his inherits his older brother's restaurant, and he's like traveled the world, like a world renowned chef. He's from Chicago though, so his older brother gives him this restaurant, Italian beef, if you're familiar with Italian beef, but it's like shredded beef with like onions and peppers or whatever. So he had like, you know, like your neighborhood restaurant in Chicago. And so this world renowned chef inherits his brother's restaurant, and they're underwater, they're losing money, they owe people money, you know, it's just all over the place. And so he inherits this, and he's trying to build it back up, but he's working through his own stuff. Like he's dealt with. He hasn't been home to see his family in years, so he's working through family dynamics there. And then as a world-renowned chef, it's a very high-pressured environment. So he's dealing with a lot of PTSD, quite honestly, where he's just having flashbacks of feeling like I'm not good enough, or, you know, I'll never be this or I'll never be that. Like, he's working through his own stuff. And so I just love how they took like literally all of the stuff that I would get on like my Food Network challenge and put it in real life.
Okay.
And so, and they actually, they cleaned up at the Emmys. And I hadn't, honestly, that was one of the reasons that led me to watch the show, because I had seen previews, but I didn't really know what it was about. And then they cleaned up at the Emmys and I was like, I need to check out The Bear. So if you're into like cooking, or if you're a foodie like me, or you like Food Network stuff, I think it's a great, they did a great job of kind of marrying those two worlds. I was literally like, gosh, why didn't I think of this? Because it's just a dope concept. And actually one of the main characters I think is Ayo. She actually was also on Abbott Elementary as okay. Janine's sister, but she's gotten a lot of acclaim from being on the show. She's done a great job on there too. And shout out to Robert Townsend, who plays her father. I was like, that's a really good look for Robert Townsend. But all that to say, I literally kind of binged seasons 1 and 2 for that. And I think season 3 comes out this year, and they've already been renewed for season 4 before season 3 even starts. So The Bear is my top pick. Now, I'm going to give you a disclaimer. It's not, it doesn't have a lot of like sexual content.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But but they cuss a lot. I'm just okay. saying, they cuss a lot. And it's funny because the Black actress that I was telling you about, she did an interview where her grandmother, because she's from Nigeria, her grandmother, she was imitating her, and she was talking about like, I love your show, but why they cuss so much? They cuss a lot. Far from hacking the accent, but they do cuss a lot. So I'm gonna give you that disclaimer. But yeah, The Bear I would list as a top pick. And then also I'm gonna give a shout out to our girl Kia Stevens and her organization, Entrusted Women. A lot of people have been asking about my process with publishing a YouVersion devotional. And so Entrusted Women started out as a Facebook group. So you can actually literally go to Facebook now, look up Entrusted Women and join it. An amazing resource for particularly she targets Christian women communicators of color. I think I said that right here. Let me know if I didn't. But all that to say, if you are a writer, if you are a podcaster, if you are a speaker, but if you want to communicate and you are a Christian woman of color, like this is your jam. Like, I would definitely encourage you to join the Facebook group. And then she went a step further and launched something called Entrusted Women University, which she only opens up twice a year. And so I literally, because I've known Kia since we went to college together. And so I've kind of watched her on this journey from afar, but I literally, because I needed accountability, I was like, okay, Maya, you got all the stuff in you that you say you're working on, and you need to do it. So last year I was like, okay, I'm going to join Entrusted Women University. I want to support my friend, but I also need accountability. But it has been an amazing blessing for me. And so I want to shout them out. I want to shout out Entrusted Women and Entrusted Women University. Join the Facebook group. And if you're interested in being a part of Entrusted Women University, she will promote through that platform when that window opens. It's twice a year. And through that partnership with Entrusted Women University, she literally walks you through how to build your brand. But then she also has a partnership with YouVersion where you can be published on YouVersion. She just created another partnership, I want to say, with Christianity Today, and always has great resources where she's either interviewing people or letting sharing opportunities to be published, either traditionally with your book or just through articles. So if that's something that you're interested in, I definitely encourage you to check them out. I know people have kind of been asking me on the slide, so I was like, let me just share with the BE community. Check out Entrusted Women. And then, of course, you know, kudos to our girl, Stevens, who's a friend of the BE community. We interviewed her a while back.
We got to have her back.
We do. She's published her book, Overcoming Father Wounds, and is working on many other things right now. So, yeah, shout out to Entrusted Women. So those are my top picks. Anything else you have or can think of?
No, not for top picks.
Okay. Well, y'all, we just wanted to catch up with you, bring you up to speed on some stuff, and then, of course, weigh in, you know. But in the meanwhile, go get some merch. Go check us out.
Becoming Eva. Yes. Mugs, your water bottles. Yes. Hats,
check us slides, out. Yes.
Totes, all the things.
All the things. And then
go ahead.
Give us your suggestions too. Let us know if you have any suggestions for feedback, merch, topics, special guests, all that.
Yep. And then join us next time as we continue on the journey to becoming. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel, Facebook, and Instagram at Becoming Eva Today. We'll see you guys soon.
Bye.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.